Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Daniel Lloyd Chiquella was born September 14, 1931, in Cleveland, to the late Daniel and Hazel Chiquella. Dan was received into the joy of heaven on December 3rd of this year. Dan is survived by his children, Daniel, Paula, Cynthia, Richard, Deborah, and Robin, daughter-in-law, Jackie, grandchildren, Michael, Matt, Timothy, Joseph, Julie, Chad, Sarah, William, Justin, Allison, Jordan, Jaden, Julian, Jackson, and Jonah, and great-grandchildren, Aubrey, Johnny, Hayden, Zachary, Wesley, Elizabeth, Josephine, Rosemary, Iris, Aiden, Kyler, and Mila, sister Joanne, and brother-in-law Robert. Daniel was preceded in death by his wife Janice, wife Shirley, son Jeffrey, sister Marilyn, and grandson Jansen. It is a blessing to gather here today to remember and give thanks to God for Daniel Chiquella, a man whose strength was the Lord. Dan's heart for service made him a pillar of this community, and his joy in the Lord was infectious. I'm sure he was aware of that to some degree, though I'm not sure he fully understood the power of his example, the importance of his example of faithfulness. In recent years, many of us saw with our own eyes how much Dan valued being in Bible study and how much it meant for him to be in worship, especially when it came to coming to this altar rail and receiving the Lord's Supper. Some of you are well aware of how Dan would order his life around receiving God's gifts. If something else was going to drain him to the point where Sunday worship was too much, he wouldn't do the something else. To know Dan was to be inspired by his example. And his actions were the result of a genuine faith in the redeeming power of Jesus. I think you would probably agree that Dan was what I would call a faith-forward person. Meaning, you couldn't be around him for long without hearing him speak of the Lord's guidance and help. He had story after story about turning to God in times of challenge and receiving the Lord's deliverance. It was a faith forged in the fires of heartbreaking loss. So Dan's words and actions carried the weight of authenticity. His faith moved him to cultivate a relationship with God in prayer, and part of that relationship was an unusual level of confidence in addressing his Heavenly Father. And what I'm getting at here is that for about the last 4 years or so, Dan very directly questioned why his Heavenly Father had not taken him to heaven yet. Based on today's gospel reading, in which Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go there to prepare a place for you," Dan would finally conclude, "I guess my room's not ready yet. I want to impress on you," he was not just trying to be funny, but his desire was true. He really was ready to see Jesus. His attitude reminded me of what the Apostle Paul wrote in the opening of his letter to the Philippian Christians. There, Paul's kind of thinking back on his whole life, reviewing it, and then he writes this: "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your account. And this is a profound thing that Paul says here. He's saying that faith in Jesus transforms how the Christian looks at death. Paul says to die is gain, because what you gain is that death brings you directly to Jesus. Life in the world is good too, Paul says. A life lived for others glorifies God. Other people need us. These are good things. But the best thing is to see Jesus face to face, where grief and pain and brokenness are no more. And that describes the faith expressed by Dan, a confident trust that at some point, the room prepared for him by Jesus would finally be ready. How could Dan be so confident? That's a crucial question to answer. Now, we've already established Dan was a pillar of this church, a strong role model, well-loved, an inspiration to all of us. These things are all true. But I assure you, Dan's confidence did not come from looking at himself. In other words, his trust was not in his own performance. No, his trust was in Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Dan's expectation of heaven was not arrogance. On the contrary, it was the exact opposite. It was an expectation created by humility. Not an aw shucks, it was nothing kind of humility, but the real humility of the soul that realizes, I cannot save myself. The kind of humility captured in the classic hymn that we all sang just a few moments ago, Rock of Ages, where it says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, and wash me, Savior, or I die. The good news that gave Dan confidence is this. Jesus came into this world to do what we could not. Jesus loved his Father with all his heart and his neighbor as himself, creating a perfect record. And in the greatest exchange ever devised, he gives you that perfect record as a gift. You are treated as if you did it all perfectly. And in the exchange, Jesus takes your shortcomings and sins onto himself and gets treated as they deserve, which is what happened at his cross. So you see, the confidence comes from Jesus' performance and not our own. As one of our modern hymns puts it, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that same hymn goes on to say this, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. That's where the confidence of the Christian always comes from. Jesus did it. It's a done deal. It's credited to you in your baptism. There is nothing left for you to do, nothing to earn, nothing to prove. Just receive what Jesus did for you by faith. Hold out your hands and take the present paid for by the Son of God. But how do you know if you've taken the present? Well, let me tell you, once in a while, I've ministered to people who are well aware that their lives are drawing to a close. And they hit me with this line, I hope I go to heaven. Sometimes these are people who have been in church for a long, long time. And they say, I hope I go to heaven. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that their attention is too much on themselves, and so I've tried to gently inform them, you'll never find peace looking at yourself. I hope for heaven, I hope I go to heaven means I'm not sure, because I know my own track record. But you can be sure when you finally realize it's not your track record that matters. It's Jesus' record that matters. And it counts for you when you humbly receive it. And you know, in all my time with Dan, about 10 years, I never once heard him say, I hope I go. He knew he was going. If they'd just get his room ready. And he could say that because Jesus paid it all. This is the marvel of the true Christian faith. Not only does a believer have the absolute assurance of a future heaven, but what Jesus did changes your present. Simply put, you now run on faith, not fear. And that's the fuel that made Dan such an unstoppable servant of the Lord. He served not because he was fearful, he served because he was thankful. So, we gather to give our deepest thanks to God for Dan Jacella today. He stands as a role model of Christian humility and faithfulness, and we thank God for the many ways that he encouraged us and taught us and lifted us up by his example. And with hearts both heavy and joyful, we give thanks to God that in his perfect timing, the room prepared for Daniel Jacella became ready. And he departed to be with Christ Jesus, to move in forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.